I asked the earlier service, and I ask you, and I'll ask you today: are you into resolution making? Nobody? How about resolution breaking? That fits you better? Well, this being the first Sunday of the year, I want to focus on the title, of course. You see the title in this morning's message, but I want to challenge you first. I want to challenge you with two resolutions. And they're really not that difficult. But I want to challenge you in this regard because I believe they're so vital for your growth and my growth and the body of Christ that it is just absolutely important that we commit to these resolutions. The first one is very simple. It's Bible reading. Daily Bible reading. Did you know in America, 92% of Americans have a Bible? You probably knew that, right? This is America, after all. 92% of Americans have a Bible. 11% read them on a daily basis. And so let me ask you this, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about it. Are you part of the 11? Are you part of the 11% of Americans that read God's Word on a daily basis? Yeah, you'll get sick once in a while, or you'll have an emergency and you won't be able to, but other than that, are you part of the 11% that reads the Bible every day? I think Bible reading is so important, and I committed my life to the Lord a bunch of years ago, and I committed a few years later to read His Word every day. I ask myself and I ask you, how will I ever know what's in the Bible if I don't read it? How will you ever know if you don't read it? And I know you'll say probably, well, Jim, you'll tell me what's in there. Well, I'm not going to tell you everything. I don't know everything, for starters. And I'm not going to be able to cover everything in the Bible. So I'm challenging you, make a resolution, make a commitment, make a goal for this year to spend time in God's Word every day. You're going to learn. You're going to learn from it. You're going to hear from God from it. I guarantee you, it's happened to me and it's happened to you. You're going to hear from God when you get into the Word of God. And you know, perhaps one of the best things of all, you're going to be able to share what's in it. Because you know it's there. You've read it. You've meditated on it. God has spoken to you through it. The only way we're going to be able to share what's in the Word is if we get in the Word. Is if we get in it and read it for ourselves. You say, Jim, I got a busy schedule. I've been busy too. But my response to my busyness, and I will challenge you with this, is where does God fit then in your prioritizing of your life, in your daily walk with Him? I've had to get up early and milk cows, and I've had to help manage a factory, and I've done this and I've done that, and I've been busy too. But I've asked myself, is God's Word important to me? And the answer is yes. So I'll get up a little earlier. I'll get up a little earlier, and I'll set a little time aside. Because God's Word is important to the body of Christ. We must take time to be in it. We must take time to see what He has to say to us in the Word of God. And challenge number two goes right along with that. Let me challenge you with this resolution. Resolve to spend time in prayer every day. If the body of Christ is not in prayer, then why should God do anything for us? Remember the prayer? Remember the speaking to Solomon? If my people will humble themselves and pray. Why, if the body of believers is not in prayer, should God do anything? He wants His people to pray. And so let me challenge you. We could spend the whole morning on talking just about prayer, but let me just challenge you. Will you commit this new year to daily Bible reading and spending time daily in prayer? Will you commit to do that? All I want to say today about prayer is take time to do it. Get serious with God in your prayer life. You say, Jim, what do I pray about? Well, there's a prayer focus in your bulletin for starters. Pray for those that have lost their way in society. Pray for your coworker. Pray for your family. Pray for the sick. Pray for the president. We got a new president coming into office. I don't agree with everything that he's voted for in the past, and probably you don't either, but I'm still going to pray for him. Pray for our leaders in town. Pray for leaders in your town. Pray for your neighbors. You say, Jim, I don't like my neighbor. Well, pray for them anyway. The Bible says, love your neighbor. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Jim, he let the cows in my pasture. Well, pray for them anyway. There is somebody that needs you to pray for them. There might be somebody in your family that needs to know Christ, which we're going to lead up to our statement here in a moment, but you're going to have to pray for them. You're going to have to spend a lot of time in prayer for them. If we never take time each day to read and pray, how are we going to know God's will for us? For you, for me, for us as a body of believers. How are we going to know God's will, God's direction, if we're never in His Word, or even rarely in His Word, or we're not spending time in prayer? Jim, you say, Jim, you're getting a little heavy on me today. All these resolutions and all these goals and stuff that I don't really have time for that. Let me share with you what a pastor said. I think I read this in a book I read recently that I believe is profound and profoundly true. And it has to go with Bible reading and daily prayer and surrender to Christ. Here's what he said. God is not concerned about your happiness as much as He is concerned about your righteousness. Think about that for a second. You say, Jim, doesn't God want me to be happy? That's not what it said. He is more concerned about your righteousness, your walk with Jesus, your eternal destination, than being happy today. That's what he's saying. And sometimes God, the Bible says this, chastens whom He loves. You've been spanked lately by God? When we get into the Word, sometimes He may give us direction. He may chasten us. When we get serious in our prayer life, when we get on our knees before God, He may chasten us. He is more concerned about your eternity than He is about your happiness today. And so when we pray and when we read, we're going to hear from Him. I guarantee it. I know lots of you have, and so have I. We're going to hear. It may not be an audible voice that says, Jim, thou shalt this or thou shalt that. But you're going to hear from God when you spend time in His Word. You're going to get direction for your life. You're going to recognize this is sin, this is righteousness, and the difference between. You're going to see the truth of God. And so let me just challenge you. Take those two seriously this year. I took them too seriously a long time ago, praise the Lord, not by my strength, but by His. I'm still doing it after 20 or 25 years. And so I'm here to challenge us. I care about your happiness, but I'm here to challenge us too. To be the light of the world. Turn into Matthew 5. Going to look at a couple of verses there. You know what they say, but turn there anyway. Or watch it on the big screen if you'd like. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. You, followers of Jesus, you, disciples of Christ, you that have been born of God, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, I'm in verse 13, Matthew 5, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Jesus is talking to the church today. You say, Jim, he was talking to the folks on the hillside when he was given the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, he was, but he's talking to the church today, the bride of Christ. You're the salt of the earth, he said. So start being salty. Start acting like Christians, looking like Christians, breathing like Christians, talking like Christians, walking like Christians. Because if you've lost your saltiness, look what he says in the New King James. You're not good. I'm not good for anything. Good for nothing. If the salt, it's only made up of a couple of properties, you chemical buffs, you chemistry and biology people. But if it loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything. And Jesus is saying that about the church. If you've lost your saltiness, it is good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I'm not interested in not being good for nothing in the kingdom of God. And he's challenging our churches today. If anybody is going to be in eternity because of Christians today, we've got to be salty Christians. We have got to be living lights of Jesus, which he says in the very next verse, in verse 14, Matthew 5. He says, "You followers of Jesus are the light of the world." He gives the example of a city, and you can see it there. And let me just share with you, a Christian full of Christ, a Christian full of the Spirit of the living God cannot be hidden either. Amen? A Christian and Christian churches in America or around the world, in Vietnam or you name the place, Christian churches that are letting their light shine for Jesus cannot be hidden either. We will never be able to point people to Christ if we don't look like Christ, if we don't act like Christ. He says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That is what he's challenging our churches with today. If people are ever going to see Christ, they've got to see Christ in the church. They've got to see Christ in me. They've got to see Christ in you. I've been told too many times, "Jim, when I see the church, I see hypocrites." Jesus says we've got to be the light of the world. That doesn't mean for 60 minutes in here. It means for a lifetime out there. The light of the world. Which brings us to a little illustration. This flame behind me isn't very big, and most of the time I'm standing in front of it, so you can't see it anyway. But there's a little bitty flame that burns right here. This little candle was given to us as a gift by the departing of a loved one, and it burns every Sunday. Our church and you are like this flame. We are to burn brightly for Christ, because if that is how the churches in America are, without the light of Christ, we are doing no good for anybody. And so, as you think about being the light of the world, think about your light shining for Christ day after day, moment by moment, challenge after challenge that God has laid before you, person after person that God puts in front of you. Is our light in the Christian church shining brightly, or is it out? Has it gone out? Jesus said, "You Christians, you followers of Christ, are the light of the world. Let your light shine so bright that people can know that Jesus is alive and well, that there is a Father in heaven, and that will bring glory to Him because of your light shining." Which brings us to the next question. This is not a question original with me. This is a question I have thought about, but it is a question that is in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, in chapter 37. Is anyone going to be in heaven because of you? That's heavy, isn't it? He says further, "People of God, what are you willing to do so that people will know, so people you know will go to heaven? Are you willing to pray for them no matter what? Are you willing to pray for them no matter how long? Are you willing to love them?" Remember, we heard from Marie last week. She talked about the characteristics of a Christian a little bit. She talked about kindness, Ephesians 4, compassion, forgiveness. Hello, forgiveness? You expect me to forgive him, Jim? That's what Jesus expects us to do. Let me ask you the question, what are you willing to do so that people you know will be in heaven one day? So that people in your circle, in your family, in your job place will be in heaven one day. Eternity is coming mighty quickly. This life, brothers and sisters, is not all there is. And Jesus is imploring us to be the light of the world. So the world that lives in darkness, that is ruled by the prince of the power of the air, that's Paul's terminology for the devil, so that the world might see Christ. You say, "Jim, isn't telling people about Christ your job?" Yes, it is my job, and I'm going to continue to do it. But it is not my job exclusively. It is our job. The body of Christ, believers that belong to Jesus, we should feel a heaviness of heart. We should feel a burden as long as we know there is somebody in my family, somebody in our church, somebody in our community outside the fold of God. We should feel a burden for the lost. And as long as there is one person in our families, in our community, in our workplaces, as long as there is one outside the fold of God, we should not be resting in that. We should be reaching out. That's what Jesus gave his, that's what Jesus' instructions were to his disciples. And you, my brothers and sisters, are his disciples. We are his disciples. And he told them, keep reaching out and telling them about me. Not everybody will respond. Not everybody will accept him. That's not our control. That's the Spirit of God. But it is our responsibility to tell people about the good news of Jesus. That is our responsibility. The church that is not willing to reach out to people with Christ is the church that says, I don't care about your future. That's the church that Warren describes in chapter 37 of his book. The church that is not willing to reach out to somebody outside the fold of God is basically in essence saying, I don't care where you'll spend eternity. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I'm not made that way. I care too much for people's eternal destination to look the other way. And I think that it is high time that our churches get serious in our prayer life, in our reading of God's Word, in our burden of one lost soul that's outside the fold of God. Turn to John 17. We've got a few more minutes. I want to show you what Jesus prayed. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer. I think you know that already. I think you know that in the first part of the prayer, he's praying for his disciples. I think you probably know that in the last part of the prayer, he's praying for you and I. He's praying for Christians. He's praying for future disciples, which is you and I. John 17, beginning at verse 6. I, Jesus said to his Father, have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Why do you suppose he said that about these special people, these followers of Christ? Because they had to tell the others about Jesus. That's why. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, I've been born again, and God whisks us off to eternity? Then who's going to tell the next generation? Who's going to tell my neighbor? Who's going to tell my family member? Jesus is praying to God about his disciples. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. 17, sanctify them by your truth. Set them apart, he says. Set them apart as something you can use as holy people by your truth. And then he says, your word is truth. You sent me into the world. Verse 19, 18, I also have sent them into the world. To do what? To tell people about Jesus. To tell people the Messiah has been here. To tell people that without the Messiah, heaven is not going to be reality. To tell people that God has sent of his best. He has sent Jesus to the cross at Calvary to cover our sin. If we will repent and come to him, heaven is ours. But they must be told. And that's why Jesus said, I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. You say, Jim, these are a special group of people. These are the disciples. These are the apostles. Listen to me for a second, brothers and sisters. These are not Harvard scholars. These are not Oxford theologians. These are not even the religious people of that day. These are fishermen. These are tax collectors. These are farmers, etc., etc., etc. These are people in everyday life that God needed to further His kingdom, to tell the next generation and the neighbors and the coal fishermen about Christ. These are not the scholarly. These are people that are willing and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying He can't use the scholarly, because He does. But that was not who these people were. They were people available to the mission of God. They were people available that said, I surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I surrender. I give my life to Him. I am going to become His follower, and then I am going to become His messenger. Just like we're to do. Then, in verse 20 of that same chapter, Jesus prays for you and I. He says, Father, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Future Christians. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. And look at what he says there, last part of 21, that the world may believe that you sent me. How is the world going to know about Christ if the church doesn't tell them? Well, Jim, isn't that what Billy Graham's for? And preachers? Yes, that's partly what Billy Graham and preachers are for. But it's the body of Christ, the followers of Jesus, that are the light of the world, letting Jesus shine through us, that the world around us might know Christ. And so I ask us again, is there anybody in heaven going to be coming up to you and saying, thank you for telling me about Jesus? I'm here because you told me about Jesus. I'm here because you prayed for me. This life is not all there is. You know, we get wrapped up in doing our thing. When we're young, we're in sports and we're in extracurriculars and we're in all these things, and when we get to be a little more into adulthood, we've got responsibilities and we've got families and we've got places to be and we've got this. But this life, brothers and sisters, is not all there is. It's only the on deck circle. It's only the testing ground. As the Bible said, it's only the vapor of time that we have before eternity. It's that vapor of time that we have as individuals to repent and receive Christ as Lord, be led by His Spirit, and tell the world about Him. You say, Jim, how do we start? At least I hope that's what your heart is saying. First of all, we've got to be born again ourselves. You say, Jim, what are you saying? If I don't know Christ myself and don't know what's in His Word, how can I tell you about it? I need to know Christ myself. I need to be born again in my spirit. I've been born in the flesh already. Now we need to be born in our spirit. We need to repent. We need to turn from the old ways, and we need to invite Christ into our lives to take over, just like these fishermen did. Said, I'm a fisherman, God, but if you can use me, I'm ready. Here I am. Let's go. And if we are born again, if we are saved, if we have surrendered to Christ, the first thing we must do is we must pray. We must pray for missing souls from the fold of God. You say, Jim, I've been praying for 20 years, nothing's happened. Then keep praying. I've been praying for 25 years in circumstances for certain people, and I'm still praying too. For salvation, God, the Bible says, is not willing that any should perish. Why should I be? God is not willing that any should go to hell apart from Him, then why should the church be? Why should the church be silent when it comes to reaching out to people for Christ? We must pray. We must love them. We must show them we love them. Just like Marie said last week, be kind, be compassionate, be tender-hearted, be forgiving. We must look like Christ. And then we must tell them. we must tell them the story of Jesus. We must tell them, maybe it's your story. Maybe it's just what Jesus has done for you. Maybe it's as simple as, look at how Jesus has changed my life. But we must tell them, after we've prayed for them, after we've loved them, we must tell them that God is real. Heaven is real. Hell is too. And Jesus is reaching out. Look at that word picture in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, I don't think he's saying for a moment, some I choose and some I don't. If any man opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. I believe God's grace is extended to people, but he uses people to reach people. We've got to tell them the good news. I've got goals for myself and our church too. I've got goals that we're a prayer-saturated congregation. This body making a difference in our communities. That we have vibrant small groups learning and reproducing other small groups and growing closer to God. That this congregation is a holy people. Our churches are holy people. Recognizable as the light of the world. But my main goal is God's goal, that lives be committed to Jesus. It's not going to happen unless you tell them and I tell them. We must be about the kingdom building business. Time is running out. Time is short. The Lord Jesus is going to return, or we pass in death, and time is no more as far as we know it in the flesh. And if we haven't made a decision for Christ, it's too late. What are we going to do, friends, brothers and sisters, about the world around us? You say, Jim, I can't take on the world. Then take on one. Then take on one. Commit that you will pray for one person's salvation every day and love them and maybe give them some tracts. I got all kinds of tracts back here. Take them, pass them out, read them, do whatever you want with them. But love them and somehow, sometime, tell them about Jesus. Eternity depends upon it. Let's pray together. Father, we don't want our flame to go out. I don't want our flame to go out, Father. We want to be the light that Jesus commanded us to be. We want to be the light that reflects Jesus to our co-workers, to our neighbors, to people in the church, to people outside the church. We want to be the light, O God. We don't have strength enough on our own. We've got to have you. We've got to have your Spirit leading us, Lord Jesus. We don't have the strength. We don't have the willpower to do it on ourselves. We need you. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to be the light of the world. I pray, oh God, that our Christianity doesn't end on Sunday at noon. I pray, oh God, that as we leave out here on Sundays and go into our neighborhoods and into our workplaces, I pray that we would be your light. That we would be so committed to you, Lord Jesus, so filled by your Spirit, that we are recognizable not as something better per se, but as the light of Jesus, as a peculiar people. That's what your word calls us, peculiar people, as a holy people. God in heaven, I pray that you'd use us, the body of Christ, in this church and in many churches all around us. Use us to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus. There's a dying world. Your word says, Father, that broad is the way. Wide is that gate that leads to destruction, and there are many on that road. You've said that, Lord. You've told us that. And so it behooves us, your body, to be in prayer for people missing from the fold of God. It behooves us, O God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, love those people around us with an intensity like you do. And it behooves us to tell them there's good news and the news is Jesus. Father God, give us that strength, that that ability, that courage to be shining lights for Jesus so that dozens, hundreds in these communities would come to Christ in this year. Revival would sweep across our nation. In our churches, people would be saved. Father, I pray that you would use us. And I also pray this morning, Father, that if there is one or two here today that is not sure about heaven, not sure about eternity, not sure about being saved, born again, Father, I pray that your Spirit would work on their hearts, that they might open up their heart, repenting and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Tomorrow may be too late. Next year could be too late. Gracious God, use us in the body of Christ to bring glory to you and souls to the kingdom of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.